किं पुरुषादीनि वर्षाणि विजित्य जगृहे बलिम् भद्राश्वं केतुमालं च भारतं चोत्तरान् कुरु किं पुरुषादीनि वर्षाणि विजित्य जगृहे बलिम् भद्राश्वं केतुमालं च भारतं चोत्तरान् कुरु किं पुरुषादीनि वर्षाणि विजित्य जगृहे बलिम् भद्राश्वम् भद्राश्व केतुमालम् केतुमाल च आल्सो भारतम् भारत च एंड उत्तरान् नदन नदन कंट्रीज कुरु द किंगडम ऑफ द कुरु डायनेस्टी किम पुरुषादीनि अ कंट्री बियॉन्ड द नदन साइड ऑफ द हिमालयस Varshani, hearts of the earth planet, Vijitya, conquering, Jagrihe, exacted, Balim, strength. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit then conquered all parts of the earthly planet, Bhadrashva, Ketumal, Bharata, the Nadan Kuru, Kim Purusha, etc., and exacted tributes from their respective rulers. Purport. Bhadrashva. It is a tract of land near Meru Parvat, and it extends from Gandhamadan Parvat to the saltwater ocean. There is a description of this Varsha in the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, 714 and 218. The description was narrated by Sanjay through Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Yudhishthir also conquered this Varsha and thus the province was included within the jurisdiction of his empire. Maharaj Parikshit was formally declared to be the emperor of all lands ruled by his grandfather, but still he had to establish his supremacy while he was out of his capital to exact tribute from such states. Ketumal. This earth planet is divided into seven dvipas by seven oceans. And the central dvip called Jambudvip is divided into nine varshas or parts by eight huge mountains. Bharat Varsha is one of the above mentioned nine varshas and Ketumal is also described as one of the above varshas. It is said that in Ketumal Varsha, women are the most beautiful. This Varsha was conquered by Arjun also. A description of this part of the world is available in the Mahabharata. It is said that this part of the world is situated on the western side of the Meru Parvat, and inhabitants of this province used to live up to 10,000 years. Bhishma Parva, 631. Human beings living in this part of the globe are of golden color, and their women resemble the angels of heaven. The inhabitants are free from all kinds of diseases and grief. Bharatvarsha. This part of the world is also one of the 9 Varshas of Jambudvip. The description of Bharatvarsha is given in the Mahabharata. In the center of Jambudvip is Ilavartvarsha. And south of Ilavartvarsha is Harivarsha. The description of these Varshas is given in the Mahabharata Sabhaparva 28:7-8. As follows. Nagaramscha vanamschaiva nadischa vimalokada lokadakaha purushan devakalpamscha narischa priyadarshanaha adrishta purvan subhagan sadadarsha dhananjayaha sadanani cha shubhrani narischa sarasam nibhaha. It is mentioned here that the women in both these Varshas are beautiful, and some of them are equal to the Apsaras, or heavenly women. Uttar Kuru. So according to the Vedic geography, the northernmost portion of Jambudvip is called Uttar Kuru Varsha. It is surrounded by the salt water ocean from 3 sides and divided by Shringavan mountain from the Hiranmai Varsha. Kim Purush Varsha. It is stated to be situated north of the great Himalayan mountain, which is 80,000 miles in length and height, and which covers 16,000 miles in width. These parts of the world were also conquered by Arjun, Sabha Parva 28.1-2. The Kim Purushas are descendants of a daughter of Daksha. When Maharaj Yudhishthir performed a horse sacrifice yagya, the inhabitants of these countries were also present to take part in the festival, and they paid tributes to the emperor. This part of the world is called Kim Purush Varsha, or sometimes the Himalayan provinces, Himavati. It is said that Shukadev Goswami was born in these Himalayan provinces and that he came to Bharat Varsha after crossing the Himalayan countries. In other words, Maharaj Parikshit conquered all the world. He conquered all the continents, adjoining all the seas and oceans in all directions, namely the eastern, western, northern and southern parts of the world. Om Adhyanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shivanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Kripa Sindho Bevacha Padidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj Parikshit then conquered all parts of the earthly planet, Bhadrashva, Ketumal, Bharata, the Nadankuru, Kimpurusha, etc., and exacted tributes from their respective rulers. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is entitled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. The 16th chapter. These chapters are glorifying Parikshit Maharaj, who became the reason for the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is the first time that King Parikshit Maharaj has got the opportunity to exhibit his prowess and his courage and be engaged in the service of giving protection to the subjects, being the king. Because previously, because of the rule of the Pandavas, as it is already explained here, that the Pandavas had already conquered these territories, and because of their exalted status as being the greatest devotees of the Lord, there was peace and devotion amongst the subjects. There were no enemies. And as a result of that, Maharaj Parikshit did not feel the need, or there was no need for Parikshit Maharaj to exhibit his prowess. But this is the first time that Parikshit Maharaj, seeing that the symptoms of Kali Yuga appearing in Hastinapur, and naturally it's an epidemic which is just beginning, and knowing the nature of epidemics, that it will soon become a pandemic, as we've already seen. Only difference is that this affects the mind. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, he immediately set out very enthusiastically to curb the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And he is mounted a chariot led by black horses. It was already discussed, and is having a flag with a lion on it. And he is personally out on the field, and with his contingent of soldiers, obviously. And the places that have been now described here, which he is going to visit, which he visited, are we will not find these places even on our Google Maps. You know, because it's not a part of Bharatvarsha. What we see in our modern geography is just Bharatvarsha. And it is Prabhupada is explaining here that Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the earth, what the Bhagavatam calls as earth, is much larger than what we understand as earth. So the modern scientific observation of earth is what we see at the globe earth. But according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, this earth or Bharata is nothing but a part of an island called as Jambudvip, which is actually one of the islands of the earth plane. And there are in total 7 islands which are separated by oceans. And the islands, except for Jambudvip, all other islands are concentric, which are separated by oceans. So, naturally, we may ask that, is it possible for us to access these places? No, we can't. No, it's not possible for us to access. You need karmic qualifications. You need that divinity which Parikshit Maharaj had, or for that matter the Pandavas had, in order to reach these places. And not just reach those places, but you know, conquer them and exact taxes from them and all those things. So definitely here we can see that Parikshit Maharaj's divinity has been demonstrated here. That place which we have no access, he went and conquered them. Just as his grandfather had done. So that's what it takes. Because naturally, Parikshit Maharaj is the one who brought about a revolution in consciousness. We hear that how Parikshit Maharaj was protected by the Lord within the womb of his mother. A Brahmastra was thrown to kill him while he was a child within the womb. But Sri Krishna emerged, and there are some accounts where Parikshit Maharaj died and then he was revived by Krishna. So, naturally, there are accounts of dead people being brought to life. Like, for example, recently somebody sent a message about one philosopher who was speaking about how in the Bible, the example of Jesus bringing back Lucifer. What's his name? There's one person whom he brings back to life. Lazarus, yes, Lazarus of Bethany. And he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus comes there and he says he was buried, not buried exactly, he was put in a, in a cave kind of structure, covered with a stone, rock. And when Jesus comes back and they tell him that Lazarus is dead, and he was known to him, he was one of his followers. And Jesus, he says, Lazarus, come out. And then he comes out. He walks out from the revived. And that example is quoted to prove that the divinity of Jesus Christ. Yes, so a philosopher was saying, that's nice, of course, that you bring somebody back to life. It's definitely a miracle. It definitely shows that the person bringing someone back to life is divine. But what about the person who has been revived? Has his life become divine? That is a very important question. Because what will happen? Okay, you revive him and he lives for a few more years and then he dies eventually. So where is the beauty in that? Where is the revolution in that? For what purpose was he brought back to life? Where was the value in that? So here Srimad Bhagavatam says that when Sri Krishna brought Parikshit back to life, there was indeed a revolution. not just in Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness, but he was instrumental in bringing about a revolution in the consciousness of this universe, of this world. But still we don't hear about him. I mean, have we read about the King Parikshit in our history books? Yes, how many of you have heard about King Parikshit in your history books? Never. So definitely, that is what is of value. The revolution. That he's able, and what is the revolution we are talking about? Revolution to put an end to the cycle of birth and death. That Parikshit did for himself, and he became an instrument for that, for everybody else. And that is the real revolution. And here we can see that he's a liberated man moving around as a Kshatriya in the midst of all this aggression. Because naturally Kshatriyas have to be aggressive. They can't be Kshatriyas, they can't be kings. And contrary to the conception that people have about spirituality, you know, that you have to be peaceful and all those things, it's a revolutionary concept, again, to see that how a liberated soul can be in the midst of aggression and still be liberated. Therefore, it is said by the Acharyas in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikhilasva api avasthasu jivan mukta sochate. That if a person's mind, body, words are completely engaged in the service of the Lord, then even though externally he may seem to be acting materially on a material platform with a material body, but he is still considered to be liberated soul. He is a jivan mukta. So the kind of a conception that, you know, you have to die to attain liberation, mukti ke liye marna padega, it is not true. You don't have to die to experience Vaikuntha. In fact, you can experience Vaikuntha while you live. And that is what is important. And that is what it is. And therefore, the qualities that Parikshit Maharaj exhibited, the fearlessness, the courage. I mean, personally, he is going, where is the need for the leader of the universe to go out personally to fight? If you see today, at least in India, the president of the India is the celebratory head of the defense forces, Army, Navy, Air Force. Yes. And you see the country, of course, it's a democratic setup, and those days it was autocratic. There was a king, monarchy, etc. And naturally, in democracy, you have politicians making decisions, important decisions, as to which soldiers, which army should go where, which navy should be going where, and things like that. And the people doing actually the fighting are different people. Yes, and there are so many... like you see in designations, field marshal, and in the army you see the field marshal and the general, lieutenant general, major general, brigadier, and colonel, lieutenant colonel, and captain, and lieutenant, and all those. So many. By the time all the president has to do is just send troops here and there. And the warfare, art of warfare has changed so drastically. That there's now, we don't need human beings also. We just send drones and, you know, conduct surgical strikes and get people killed, and you can drop a bomb on somebody's head, you know. I mean, everybody is being watched, satellite and everything. It doesn't really take much courage, you know, but we can see here Parikshit Maharaj is personally going out and, you know, but of course, because none else could do this job. Who else could access these places except for Parikshit? And that is a Kshatriya. You know, Kshatriya is, he looks forward to doing his duty. He looks forward to an opportunity to fight. He doesn't run from battle. And In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says to Arjuna that you are a Kshatriya. That's your nature. You don't need to change your duty. You don't need to become a Brahmin. You don't need to become a sannyasi. Keep fighting. You are liberated, don't worry. You follow my instructions. Do it for me. Offer everything, all the results of what you do to me, and you are liberated. There is no need to become a sannyasi. That is a revolutionary concept, you see. So he is very much into his duties, doing his duties. And nature doesn't matter what your nature is. You may be Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. As long as there is devotion, you are offering everything, all the fruits to Krishna. And that is the spirit. I mean, fortunately in India, we find that that spirit is upheld. Even in democracy, if you see in India, it's not compulsory for anyone to join the army, is it not? Since the time democracy has been established in India, the Department of Defense, which is the biggest recruiter in the whole world, 3 million people, 30 lakh people, inducted into the defense forces in India. The first largest department recruiter in the world, followed by the United States, third by China. But fortunately, in India, there is no compulsion that everybody has to be drafted or conscripted into the defense. Even you see in the US, there was this, since 1940s up to 1973, they had this compulsory drafting into the army. You have to lend some service into the Army, Navy or Air Force if you are between the age of 18 to 25. And we know that the hippie movement was partially, part of that was also because of the rebellion against the management, against the government, because they were forcibly drafting people into the defense, even though they didn't want to fight. They were not Kshatriyas, but you know, train them up, you give them a gun and they don't want to fight. Some people wanted to become fishermen, some people wanted to become, you know, businessmen. But they are now there with the guns and, you know, fighting enemies whom they didn't know or didn't even feel relevant. Why are we here in these foreign countries, in Vietnam and all other places? Because they don't have people, you know, they don't have sufficient volunteers. So they have to, you know, do these kind of policies, which is quite justified in a way. But that is a Kshatriya, one who is voluntarily coming forward, you know, to be engaged in the work of his nature. So, Parikshit Maharaj is all set to take on Kali Yuga. And the symptoms of Kali Yuga, as Prabhupada has already mentioned in the previous verses, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. That was the beginning when he saw these symptoms. And Bhagavatam speaks about other symptoms also. You know, symptoms where truthfulness, austerity, compassion, and cleanliness will decline. Hypocrisy will become a virtue. Wealth will be considered as the greatest accomplishment. A person who is wealthy, his behavior and character will be considered as an ideal, honest. If one is poor, it will be considered as a sin. Justice will be a privilege only available to the rich. Business enterprises will be set up, which will be based on deception. The priestly class of people will be less devoted to God and more devoted to their bellies and genitals. Men and women will be coming together in marriage simply on the basis of mutual agreement and superficial physical attraction. And they'll be married simply by agreement. There won't be any rituals. A person's spiritual status will be known just simply by the order in which he is or the clothes that he is wearing. The Brahmin will be known just simply because he's got a Brahmin thread. There will be heavy imposition of taxes on the people People will be frustrated with the management. People will leave the cities, go into the forests, mountains, and to escape the atrocities. People will live very short lives. Maximum age at the end of Kali Yuga will be probably 25, 30, 40 years age. 50, 30, 40 year old man will be a very old man. People's heights will be reduced. In fact, a whole family, it is said, will be sheltered under a plantain leaf. The heights will be very shortened. They'll be having very short memories. They'll be having a very weak intellect. So, you know, all these have been mentioned, and Parikshit Maharaj was seeing all these things. You know, there is a story in the Mahabharata or someplace, not quite a good message, but not so much verified, but there is a story of Arjun and Bhim coming to Krishna and asking him, what will be the symptoms of Kali Yuga? So at that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj was not present. So Krishna said, all right, I will demonstrate. So then he shoots four arrows in four different directions. And he says, get them. So Arjun was the first to go and to fetch. And when he picks up the arrow, he finds that there is a cuckoo bird singing very sweetly. And he was eating the meat. He was chewing on the meat or the flesh of a living rabbit. So Arjun was confused. He was aghast actually. How can a bird which sings so sweetly be feeding on a rabbit flesh? Anyway, he took the arrow, came back, and Bhim was the second to fetch the arrow. When he went to fetch it, he saw that there was this well surrounded by four wells. All the four wells were brimming with water. In fact, the water was overflowing with it. The wells were overflowing with water, but the central well, the middle one, was empty. So that was strange. Then Nakul went to fetch. And he saw that there was one cow which had given birth to a calf. And the cow was licking the calf. But the problem was that she couldn't stop licking the calf. It was licking to such an extent that the calf was hurt. And people had to come to separate the calf from the cow. So that was strange for Nakul. Then Sahadev went to fetch it, and he also saw something strange. He saw that a huge boulder was coming, rolling down a mountain, crushing smaller boulders and huge trees, only to come down to stop by a small bush. He was confused. That is quite unnatural. And he comes back to Krishna, and they all come back and they inquire. And Krishna says that, did you see something unusual? They said, yes, definitely. And Arjun says, I saw a quail, yes, sing very sweetly, but feed on the flesh of a rabbit. How is that? What is the meaning of this? And Krishna says, in the age of Kali Yuga, the saintly people will be very excellent at speaking very sweetly and singing very sweetly. They will be very intellectual, and they will be also very expert at word jugglery, but they will simply feed on the people who come to them for shelter and exploit the people. Says, all right, so that is okay. So then Bhim says, okay, I also went and I saw that there were four wells, and in middle there was another well, and what is the meaning of that? So he said that the age of Kali Yuga means that the rich and the poor will live beside each other. And even though the rich people have such abundance of wealth, but they will not share it with those people who are poor. Then Nakul came and he said, what is the meaning of the cow and a calf? And Krishna says that, yes, that means that in the age of Kali Yuga, parents will be overprotective of their children. So much so that they will be pampering them to such an extent that they will be utterly spoiled. They will lose the art of raising children. And finally then Sahadev says that I saw one boulder falling down from the mountain and stopping besides the bush. What is the meaning of that? She says, all right, that means that even though the Kali Yuga has got n number of faults, but the solution for all these is to chant Hare Krishna, or the process of Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtana areva krishnasya mukta sangha paramurit. Yes. So, like, you know, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this episode of one sannyasi, he saw Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and seeing their beauty, he was so overwhelmed that he came to them and he says, I want to give you a blessing. So Mahaprabhu says, yes, please, bless us. So he says, may you have a very long life, may you get a beautiful wife, may you get lots of wealth. So Mahaprabhu thought about it and he says, this is more of a curse you are giving me. So the sannyasi, he said, just see the age of Kali Yuga. You bless somebody and just see how ungrateful they are. So Nityananda Prabhu sprang up and he says, no, he is a little difficult character to deal with. I can deal with him very well. But you please give us your blessings. How can we serve you? So he said, yes, give me an opportunity to serve you. Please come. Come to my home. So the sannyasi had a home and also. So he said, all right, we were very happy to come. And they went to his house. And when they went inside, they came to know that the sannyasi also has a wife. The wife came out to greet them. She says, please sit. So what will you have? So she said, we'll just have some fruits. So she brought some fruits. And after some time, then this man asks him, will you have some bliss also, some little ananda? So Mahaprabhu is asking, ananda, what is ananda? So the Nityananda Prabhu, he says that ananda means wine, alcohol. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just couldn't take it anymore. And both of them, they came out of the house and jumped into the Ganges with their clothes on. Yes, so that was the example of the age of Kali Yuga, where, you know, such kind of things are a common occurrence. We don't really take them very seriously. But we see that despite all that effort which Parikshit Maharaj has done to curb Kali Yuga, has not in a way borne fruit to that extent, like, because Kali Yuga has taken its place in the society. The age itself is named after Kali. It's Kali Yuga. So naturally the time has come. Isn't it? Today we see that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj was very furious when he saw a cow and a bull being mistreated. But today we see that on a daily basis, 1 million cows are slaughtered for food. 10 lakhs, 1 million. About 1,000 tons of drugs is consumed all over the world per day, per year. Heroin and ganja and opium. And there are countries whose major exports and major source of foreign exchange is export of drugs. So many countries. Don't want to name them, but so we can definitely understand that Kali Yuga has taken its place in the society in a very, very, very strong way. And Parikshit Maharaj, who set out to curb the spread of Kali Yuga, also became a victim of Kali Yuga. Even though he was brave, just as we see that in the 2019-20, when COVID was spreading, there were doctors who were very brave, who went out, you know, to fight the pandemic, but they only became infected. Many of them died. And so here Parikshit Maharaj is also, in a way, got affected by Kali Yuga. And he became part of the problem in that sense. And he committed an offense to the Brahmin, and as a result he was cursed to die in 7 days. So therefore, now the question is that what is the solution? What is the solution? And therefore, it was Krishna who protected Parikshit Maharaj the first time when when a weapon was thrown at him. The Brahmastra was thrown at Parikshit when he was in the womb of his mother. And it was Krishna who came with another weapon and stopped the Brahmastra and revived him. But when the second time when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, the weapon which was used was not a physical weapon. It was the weapon of words in the form of curse. And now, how will Krishna protect him? The counteraction for weapon is weapon, but the counteraction for words, in the curse in the form of words, will also have to be words. And therefore, Krishna appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation of the Lord. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam was the antidote for this weapon, which entered through the ears of Parikshit Maharaj. As the snake would bite Parikshit, spreading its poison, but the nectar of Krishna Katha in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam would enter into his ears and counteract it. And because of Parikshit Maharaj, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is also available for all of us, yes, to follow and to imbibe in our lives. Therefore, they said that Krishna Swadham Upagate Dharma Jnana Adhivisaha Dharma Nashtat Drishamesha Purana Arko Dhunoditaha. That when Krishna departed from this earth and he appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can't fight the effects of Kali Yuga with weapons. That's not possible. That is already seen, that Parikshit Maharaj, being such a divine person, he is the son of Krishna actually, literally, because he was given birth by Krishna. Of course, he was born from Uttara, but actually he was revived. He died and he was revived by Krishna. So he belonged to Krishna. He was like the child of Krishna. And naturally, if, you know, fathers always bless their children. All the blessings are showered upon the children. So naturally, Krishna has showered his entire full blessings upon him. And as a result, we can see his divine nature also. His divinity, his life is the proof that he is truly a Parinishta Bhakta of the Lord. But still, he was helpless in the face of the onslaught of Kali Yuga. Why? Because that is not the means how you fight Kali Yuga, not with weapons, but through the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, here in this verse, the divinity of Parikshit Maharaj has been spoken about, and also the panacea for all the problems of Kali Yuga is also spoken about, that how his method of raising weapons against Kali Yuga will just not work. So also, if we want a solution and we want to be protected by the influence of this age, then we will also have to take to the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the process that it recommends of Naam Sankirtan. Naam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Pabha Pranashanam Pranami Dukkha Shamanastam Namami Harim Param. The Naam Sankirtan is the method of counteracting this disease or this influence of Kali Yuga. The chant process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.